Well, good morning and welcome to those of you who are here and those joining us online, and happy Thanksgiving. You know, the world is in a bit of a turmoil right now, but we still have so much to be thankful for. And I'm so thankful that we can still gather together, whether online or in person. And I'm thankful for our Warden family that we have, that we can care for one another. And I'm also really thankful for God's Word. And today we're continuing in our series called Family Matters. Last week we talked about pain, the kind of pain that you experience from being part of a family. We also talked about what you should and shouldn't do when you experience family pain. Today I want to talk about something else that affects families very much. But first of all, I want you to watch this short little video. I asked Perry, one of our kids, if he would help me out this morning. I asked him if he would put as much shaving cream on a plate as he could, and then his mom, I asked Nadine if she would tell him to put it back in the container. Just watch. It's really cute.
Perry, let's put that back in the tin.
Huh?
I love his reaction. Actually, I asked Perry to do something that was impossible. He couldn't put that shaving cream back in the can, neither could I. It's not anything we can do. And you know, our words are a lot like that shaving cream. Once they come out of our mouth, we can't take them back. That's why it's so important that we're careful what we say to one another, because communication matters. Have you ever heard the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me? Do you believe that's true? I know it's not true. Our words have the power to bless people or to hurt people. And the title of my message this morning is simply Communication Matters, meaning that the way we communicate with each other is very important. When we communicate well, we're brought together. And when we don't communicate in a healthy way, we tend to fall apart. We tend to distance and separate from one another. My desire for this message is that you'll leave here believing that your home can be the safest place on earth to communicate. You know, I think right now so many homes struggle with being a toxic environment and a difficult atmosphere. And where there's fear, where there's intimidation, where there's shame, where those things rule, we shut down and we stop communicating. And when we stop communicating, everything starts to fall apart. How we communicate will either lead to closeness or separation, intimacy or division. So if there's any place on earth where we can learn how to communicate, to talk, to listen, and to get to the heart of things, it should be the home. And I believe when we do that well at home, everyone that lives in that home, everyone who goes out into the world from that home is going to be better, adjusted, healthier, more prepared, ready to understand what love is, and more able and willing to share it with others. They'll know how to build their own relationships and their own families so much better. You know, sometimes it's hard to know what healthy communication looks like, but we certainly know what unhealthy communication looks like because we're real familiar with that, right? So today we're going to look at the words that we say, because everything we say communicates something. And the Bible talks about our words a lot and how we use them. Now I want to focus on three verses this morning: Ephesians 4:29, James 3:8, and James 1:19. But first let's look at Ephesians 4:29 and James 3:8. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." And then James 3:8 says, "But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." Now, those verses recognize the toxic potential of the words that we speak. And while our focus today is on how we can build up and connect with each other and the other people that we love through communication, first I'd like to identify some types of communication that cause disruption and disconnection in our relationships. Or as this verse puts it, corrupt communication, or words that we use as poison. I remember one time when I was a child, my mom actually washed my mouth out with soap. She took me to the bathroom and she put the bar of soap in my mouth and swished it around. And then she told me to rinse my mouth. And then she sent me to my room. And do you know what I did to cause her to do that? I said, "Shut up," to my sister. Now, to some people, that might not seem like a very big deal, but to my mom, those were corrupt words coming out of my mouth. And, you know, that was an unforgettable object lesson to me. To this day, I've not forgotten it. You see, she understood that words are powerful, and they can bruise and batter us on the inside, just like physical blows can bruise the outside. You are often not aware of the damage that we cause because of what we say, because you can't see the inner cuts and the bruises. But even after a long time, the emotional damage can still be there. Think about your own life. Were toxic weapons used in your home, in your school, in your environment? Ask yourself, do I still carry around inner scars from the poisoning, hurtful words that people have launched at me? You know, perhaps you grew up in a home where parents use words as weapons, and you hope that you would never do that, but you find lately that you've sometimes do that to your own children, and you'd repeat that same pattern. You know, corrupt communication is dangerous. It includes things like abusive words, which are words used to abuse another person. Sometimes it can be very direct, like name-calling or put-downs or screaming tantrums, but it can also be indirect in forms of sarcasm and teasing and subtle put-downs in the form of humor. Gossip is another form of corrupt words. Gossip is terrible, and it can cause a great deal of pain. Talking badly about someone behind their back is one of the most deadliest forms of poison. And you know, as Christians, we can sometimes try to make it sound good by saying, "Oh, did you hear what happened to that person or what they did? I just wanted to tell you so that you could pray about it." But if your motive is to talk badly about that person and to share information that you don't need to share, it's gossip and it's poison to the person who you're talking to and the person you're talking about. Another form of corrupt communication is judgmental words. Judgmental words are very poisonous, but oh, we can be so quick to judge sometimes. In Matthew 7, 1 and 2, Jesus warned us about judging others. He said, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." And then Paul in Romans 14, 13 says, "Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore. But rather resolve this not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in your brother's ways." That from those verses, we can see that judgmental words are like poison. Well, one of the most toxic forms of words is fault finding and criticism. Have you ever noticed that some people seem to have this incredible need to point out the faults and the defects in other people, the ones around them? Those kind of people are always looking for something that's wrong with the other person, pointing out what they did or didn't do or what they said or didn't say. And instead of looking for the good in people, they only see the negative. And do you know why fault finding can be so poisonous in a person's life? Fault finding can deeply wound a person, especially a child. Constant criticism says, "I don't accept you for who you are." It says, "You don't measure up, and I can't accept you until you do." Another reason fault finding is so dangerous is because it's contagious. A fault finding parent can teach that to their children. You know, parents that are always finding fault and criticizing can pass that on to their children. And most likely, children who grow up in an atmosphere like that will become like that. Did you ever notice that when you're around people who are like that, who are negative and fault-finding, you just feel like the life gets sucked out of you? Well, that's because fault-finding is so toxic. Another way that words can be like poison is when we use harsh words or words spoken in frustration or anger. There was this little boy, and he had a bad temper. So his father gave him a bag of nails, and he told him every time he lost his temper, he was to hammer a nail into the back of the fence. Well, the first day, the little boy hammered 37 nails into the fence. Then over the next few weeks, he learned to control his temper, and the number of nails that he had to hammer gradually dwindled down. He discovered it was a lot easier to hold his temper than to drive those nails into the fence. And then one day, he came to the point where he didn't put any nails in the fence, and he went and told his father. And his father said, "That's really good. Now what I want you to do is every day that you don't use your temper, you need to take a nail out of the fence." So he started to do that, and eventually the day came when all the nails were out of the fence. And he went to his father and he told him, and his dad said, "I'm so proud of you, son. Well done." But then he took him by the hand and he led him to the fence, and he said, "Now look at the holes in the fence. The fence will never be the same. And when you say words in anger, they leave a scar like this one." And when I read that story, I thought, that's so true. Words said in anger will leave a mark. You know, I once had a little child ask me to pray that his mommy and daddy wouldn't be so mad at him all the time. He said, "I must be really bad because they're always mad at me." Mom and dad, if you're listening, I want you to ask yourself, could that have been my child that asked Connie to pray for them? You know, venting anger on our children, on our spouse, or anyone, it's unfair, it's uncaring, it's unloving, and it's like poison to those people receiving those words. And parents, when you argue and use destructive words in front of your children, it also poisons their spirit. It changes who they are and it wounds them. When we speak harshly, what our husbands hear, what our sons hear, what the men in our life hear is, "I don't believe in you. I don't like you, and I'm not on your side." And when you speak harsh words to your wives, to your daughters, to the women in your life, what they hear is, "You're not loved, you're not enough, and you're not worthy of my kindness." So it's so important. We need to put a permanent ban on the toxic weapons of judging and gossiping and blaming and fault finding. We shouldn't allow anger and frustration to trigger us into using destructive words. Now, this brings me to my second point about correct communication. Let's read Ephesians 4:29 again. It says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." The Message Bible puts it this way, the last part of the verse. It says, "Say only what helps, each word a gift." Our words, they should be like a gift, like a present. Now, I know it's probably not good to admit this, but I like receiving presents. I did that love language test, and it showed that my top love language was gifts. Now, I've made sure that my husband, John, is perfectly clear on this matter. Our first Christmas together, he learned that lesson the hard way. We were just poor Bible college students at the time, and it was my first Christmas away from my family, so I was always already feeling sad about that. But John, he gave me a sweater dryer that he bought from the dollar store, and a watch that was so inexpensive, his brother jokingly asked if he got it free when he filled up the car for gas. Have you ever seen tears coming out horizontally? Well, that was me that Christmas. Since that time, John has given me some wonderful, thoughtful presents. He's gotten really good at gifts. But I've been thinking lately about a lot of other wonderful gifts that I've received over the years. I actually received a present not too long ago that meant so much to me, more than that person realized. My present was some words. I received a text that said, "I miss you very much. Your beautiful smile, gentle voice, hugs, and our conversations." Isn't that so nice? And then I received another present from someone else. It was an email that said, "We were together with our family this week, and my kids brought up something that you had taught them when they were in your kids' ministry." How priceless is that? That just made my day. It was so nice. And then a few months ago, when all of this first started and we started online services, I did the announcements one day. And later in the day, I received the most beautiful gift. It was a video from my daughter, of my granddaughter, June, watching me do announcements. It was priceless. I couldn't help. I have to share it with you. Just watch the screen.
Clicking the link in the top right-hand corner of the live stream window. I also want to remind all of you to join us for coffee and conversation every Wednesday and Friday morning at 9 a.m., where one of our pastors will share a short devotion. Now is the point in the service where we collect our offering. You can give online or by text following the information list on the show. If you prefer to give by check, you can still mail in your regular giving. Now, before Pastor Warner comes to finish up the series through the book of 1 Peter, Hope in Difficult Times, here's a video from one of our church members sharing their experience at work at this time.
One simple word, Nana. But what a gift. That made my day, my week, my year. It was just so sweet. I've listened to that video and watched it over and over again. Whenever I'm a little down, I just watch June say Nana, and it just brightens up my day. You know, few of us realize the difference that a word can make. There's an old proverb that says, one kind word can warm up 3 winter months. And I think here in Canada, we could probably use some warming up. Proverbs 12:24 says, anxiety in the heart of a man weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. You know, our words can help others in powerful ways. Good words are like presents. So I want to look at some ways that we can use our words as presents. One way is compliments. Verbal affirmation should be a part of our everyday lives. We should be looking for ways to affirm people and compliment them. I read this story that many, many years ago on a certain isolated Pacific island, when a man proposed marriage, it was customary to announce it to the entire village. Then he and the whole community would go to the young woman's house. The father would come outside, and in front of the entire community, the father and the suitor would barter. Now, the main item of value on the island was a cow. And so they would barter for the bride with a number of cows. The average bride was worth 2 cows, perhaps 3 if she was unusually bright and attractive. The all-time record was 4 cows. Now, the most eligible bachelor on the island was a man named Johnny Lingo. He was handsome and wealthy, and you can imagine the excitement of all the ladies when he announced that he had chosen his wife. But then he shocked everybody by saying that he had chosen a girl named Lisa. Well, Lisa wasn't even in the top 10. She was regarded as rather plain and frightfully shy. Some of the jokers in the crowd even suggested that maybe Lisa's father should pay Johnny a cow or two. But the community gathered at Lisa's house for the bartering. Then came an even greater shock. Johnny's opening bid for Lisa was 8 cows. Well, her father almost fainted, but he managed to say yes. That very night, Johnny and Lisa were married, and they departed for their home on an adjacent island. For a full year, no one saw Johnny or Lisa. And then on their first anniversary, they returned to visit their parents. From the moment they arrived, the grapevine went ballistic. Everyone said, you gotta come and see Johnny and Lisa. But all eyes were on Lisa. No one was looking at Johnny. She was transformed. She was a vision of loveliness. She was warm and poised and friendly. She just totally transformed. And then at the end of the day, as Johnny and Lisa were preparing to return to their home, one of Johnny's longtime friends pulled him aside and asked him, what is the secret of Lisa's amazing transformation? How did it happen? And Johnny said, well, I'll tell you. From the time Lisa was born, she'd been treated as though she wasn't worth very much. And she had started to believe that about herself. But I announced to the community that she was an A 8-cow wife, and I've treated her just that way. And she has become the vision of herself that she sees every day in my eyes. Now, the way we treat people, the way we affirm them, especially those in our family, can make a powerful difference in a person's life. You can instill value in other people by the words you say. Our children need to hear words of value spoken over them. They need to know that they are loved and that they are valued. And compliments and words of value are wonderful ways to do that, and they're like presents. Another wonderful way to use your words as a present is by speaking scriptures. I believe there is power in God's word. Now, before I went to Bible college, my pastor's wife gave me a little book. And on the inside, she wrote, "I found just the scripture for you, Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." And then she wrote, "Connie, you've trusted in God all of your life. He will be there with you and keep you. You don't need to fear." And you know, I've gone to that verse so many times in my life, and I'll never forget that present that she gave me. You can also encourage other people. If you know of someone that needs encouragement, find an encouraging scripture verse. Pray and say, "Holy Spirit, show me what I need to give to them," and send them a verse, and you would be amazed how much that can help a person and encourage them in their life. Another way that we can use words in a positive and helpful way are words of affirmation. Tell your family members how much you appreciate them. Moms and dads, they need to be appreciated, kids. Kids need to be appreciated. Husbands, your wives need to be appreciated. Wives, your husbands need to be appreciated. Grandparents especially need to be appreciated. And I think Thanksgiving is a wonderful time to show thanks and appreciation for the people in your life. And of course, every day we should look for ways to brighten up a person's day and show how much we appreciate them. Now, when this whole COVID crisis began many months ago, and if you remember, the grocery stores were crazy, the shelves were being emptied out, and I remember I was at the grocery store one day, and I got up to the cashier, and she just looked so tired. And I just looked at her and I said, "How are you doing?" I said, "You're doing such a fantastic job. Thank you. I appreciate what you're doing." I even told her that I was going to be praying for her. And she looked at me with such surprise, tears welled up in her eyes, and she said, "Thank you so much. You have no idea how many times I've been yelled at today. That means so much." You know, it doesn't take much to brighten up a day, and a little appreciation can certainly go a long way. Another way, another form of communication is kind words. The Bible talks a lot about kind words. It says a soft answer turns away wrath, and also goes on to say that kind words are like honey. They're sweet. And then we have a very clear mandate in Ephesians 4:32. And the very clear directive is this: to be kind and tender-hearted to one another. Recently, I heard a really touching story that illustrates the power that kind words can have to change a life. It's a story about a young girl named Mary. Mary had grown up knowing that she was different from the other kids, and she hated it. She was born with a cleft palate, and she had to bear the jokes and the stares of cruel children who teased her nonstop about her misshaped lip or crooked nose and the way she talked. With all the teasing, Mary grew up believing that no one outside of her family could ever love her until she entered Mrs. Leonard's class. Mrs. Leonard she had a warm smile and a round face and shiny brown hair. Everyone in her class liked her, but Mary came to love Mrs. Leonard. And in the 1950s, when this happened, it was common for teachers to give children an annual hearing test. However, in Mary's case, in addition to her cleft palate, she was barely able to hear out of one of her ears. Determined not to let the other children have another reason to laugh at her and a difference that they could point out, every year she cheated on the whisper test. The whisper test was given by having a child walk into the classroom, turn sideways, and put one finger over the over their ear and repeat what the teacher was saying. Well, Mary, she would turn her bad ear to the teacher and pretend to cover her good ear. She knew that teachers would often say things like, the sky is blue, or what color are your shoes? But not on this day. Surely God put seven words into Mrs. Leonard's mouth that changed Mary's life forever. When the whisper test came, Mary heard the words, I wish you were my little girl. You see, words can change lives. And you and I, like Mrs. Leonard, have the power to change people's lives, especially those in our family. And your words can cause destruction or healing, isolation or closeness. So my question is, how do we begin to reverse the destruction of our words and start communicating in a way that brings more connectedness? Well, one of the greatest pieces of wisdom ever given about communication was written by James in chapter 1, verse 19. James writes this. He says, understand, my dear brothers and sisters, you must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. The Message version puts it this way. Lead with your ears, follow with your tongue, and let anger strangle along in the rear. Now, I love that. But how do we do it? It's such a simple thing, but a really, really, really hard thing to do. And what we have to do is we have to change our pattern of communication. So the first step to really healthy communication, communication that promotes connectedness and not disconnectedness, is to change our patterns of communication. And this is important because patterns are powerful. The way you communicate is something that you've been developing your entire life. It's something that you learned early on in your life. It's something that you are so used to and accustomed to, how to share your thoughts, how to share your feelings, what defenses you put up and what walls you need to protect yourself. So I want us to look at how your communication will change for the better if we develop these three habits listed out for us in James 1:19. The first is to be quick to listen, or simply choose to be quiet. You know, it's important to practice active listening. Listening attentively before even thinking of what your response would be. You know, we often think of listening as doing nothing. Like we're not getting to talk, we're not getting to share our point of view, the truth that we know we have. But James words it in such a way that you're actually doing something. When you close your mouth and you open your heart and your ears, you're doing something really important. You're listening. Closing our mouths and tuning into others and listening, rather than tuning out and speaking over, is a pattern interrupter. Listening allows us to really hear and then give permission for the other person to feel what they're feeling. And that sounds so simple, but how many of us really do that? We actively listen to what the other person is saying. Another thing that we can do to improve our communication is check your words. James says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. In other words, we should speak only after fully thinking through what we're going to say. A good rule is to stop before we speak and ask ourselves a few simple questions. Ask yourself before you say anything, is what I'm about to say true? Is it helpful? Will these words that I'm about to say help bring about a solution to the problem? Is it inspiring? Will the words bring a help and an encouragement to someone else? Another thing to ask yourself is it necessary? Do I even have to say it at all? And the last question to ask yourself is it kind? Are the words that I'm about to say based on a desire to help? If you can say yes to all of those questions, then go ahead and say it by all means. But think before you speak. The last thing James says challenges our hearts. He says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Ultimately, what James is challenging us to do is handle our emotions in a holy, healthy way. We can't always control what emotions that we feel, but we can always have a choice in how we respond to our emotions and what actions that we choose to take. The very next part of the verse says, human anger does not produce the righteousness of God, meaning good things usually don't come out of responding in anger. And I think Paul puts that part about anger at the end for a reason. It's because if we don't get those first two steps right, if we don't learn to listen and we don't learn to think before saying something, what sets in is distance and coldness and bitterness. And we learn to hide behind those things. And as the years go on, by the time we've raised our kids and they're 18 years old, we're sending them into the world and we're not connected. Or we've been married for 30 years and we're no longer connected. So it's so important because how we communicate to each other matters. We need to begin to be conscious of what we're saying. Ask God to continually help us to replace destructive words with positive, affirming, nurturing messages and change our pattern of communication. Now, here's one thing I know for sure. We're going to get this wrong. Some of us might even mess this up before the service is over. Remember, patterns are powerful. We've been doing and communicating the way we communicate for a long time, and it's not easy to change those things. But there is hope. You know, the most important part of communication in a family is repair. It's the ability to confess and say, I blew it, I'm sorry, I did that wrong, and then ask for forgiveness. And then try to build that attachment and connection again. You know, Jesus is the ultimate example of this. We messed up our connection with God, and then Jesus stepped in, and he is the ultimate repair for us. And we're going to celebrate that in a few minutes when we celebrate communion, how Jesus repaired that relationship with us. But you see, patterns, while they're powerful, repairs are more powerful. And we get to do that in our family. There is hope for your family, but we need to use our words as presence, not poison. We need to change our pattern of communication to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. I want to close with this poem. It's called Words, and it reminds us to think about what we're saying to one another each day. It says, I was thinking of my life, of the painful words I've heard, of the times I've been wounded by a sharp and angry word, how clearly I remember how hurt it made me feel, the bruises and the cuts, though unseen, yet very real. I was thinking of my words. Were they harsh and hasty? Did they come without much thought? Was I causing pain and anguish by the very words I brought? I was thinking of my Jesus, of his grace for you and me. I was reminded that he promised he came to set us free. He has the antidote for the poison. He has the ointment for the wound. But we need to draw close to him. He's calling us. Come soon. I was thinking of my life, of the kind words I've heard, of the times I've been encouraged by the power of a word. What a present I was given, a gift from God above, because you thought to share with me your unconditional love. I was thinking, Lord, I need your help each and every day. I don't want my words to be like poison hurting those who come my way. I want my words to be like presents, precious gifts from God above, that all people I encounter may have a taste of God's own love. It's so important that we think about what and how we communicate, because the way we communicate matters. And in closing, I just want to take us somewhere for a moment. And if you would just do this, if you would just close your eyes, whether you're here in the building or if you're at home or wherever you are, just close your eyes for a moment just to get rid of the distractions that are around you. Maybe you're listening today and you've been badly hurt by someone's words. Perhaps it was a parent or a spouse or a family member. I don't know who it was, but God knows. I want you to know that God can heal those hurts. He has the antidote to the poison spoken into your life. He loves you. He values you. His word talks about how much he cares about you, and he can help you today. Or perhaps God is speaking to you right now about the words that you've been saying. And you need to ask God for some help in this area. You know that your pattern of communication needs to change. Maybe you've been spewing words in anger and you need to get help with your anger issues so that you can communicate in a better way. I want you to know that God is a God of grace and he wants to help you because your family matters to God, and you matter to God. He loves you, and he wants to bring healing and help into your life today. Or perhaps you're listening, and you don't know Jesus. I want you to know he's the ultimate example of communicating love. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." And my prayer is that if that's you, you will accept that free gift of salvation today. And if you do that, please let us know so we can help you and answer any questions you have and help you to grow in your faith. Wherever you are in your life today, I want you to know that you are loved, you're not alone, and that there is forgiveness and healing available to you. And I just love to just pray for you right now. So God, first of all, I ask for forgiveness for myself. God, I fail in this area so often. God, our tongue, it just can get out of control sometimes, and we say things that are not good and helpful. So God, I pray that you would help me in this area. And God, for those all as well that are listening or that are here that are struggling, God, I pray that you would help them to control what they say, to change their pattern of communication. Help us to continually, consciously, each day, just speak to people in a way that brings hope and healing and life and not destruction, God. I pray that you would remind us every day to think about what we're saying. And God, for those people who are listening, Lord, that have been hurt, who have been scarred, who have been wounded by hurtful things that people have said to them, I pray today that they would know your love, that they would know healing, and that they would just continually come to a knowledge of the lies that have been spoken into their life, and that it would be replaced with the truth of your word. God, I just thank you that you love us and that we can find hope no matter what the situation, God. We know that there is hope because you are a God that's able to do the impossible. We thank you, and we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just put your attention towards the screen, and Pastor James is going to lead us now in a time of communion.